Let me begin a topic. I don't think we're going to have enough time to finish it. It's a major, major topic. A major topic in this week's parasha. Okay, the topic is Aror. In this week's parasha, Kisava, it says Aror Masig Gvul Re'ehu the Amar Kol Ha'am Amen. What does it mean? Okay, what does it mean, Masig Gvul Re'ehu? Everyone agrees that literally it means a person who picks up the boundary marker on a piece of karka, on a piece of land, and advances the boundary to a different location. If you are a neighbor, and this was before everything was plotted by satellite and by coordinates and feet and so on and so forth, and the only way that you know the difference where your property ends and where your neighbor's property begins is you have a boundary marker, and in the middle of the night when no one is watching, you pick up the boundary marker and you push it and you put it down 20, 30 feet further. This is the prohibition min haTorah of hasogas gevul. However, many of the achronim extend this concept to business practices, where two people, where one person wants to enter into a business in which someone else already has established himself as the expert in this field. And by you entering into this market, you will be taking away from this other fellow's income, because competition. There's
two bakeries
next to each other, two pizza stores, shuls next to each other. What about two barber shops next to each other? Putting a vending machine next to someone else's vending machine. You name it. The examples of Asagas Kavul are infinite. There are an infinite number of examples. Now, the truth is, a lot of these issues are discussed. I have over here this. I never saw someone that went through the sugya with such clarity and such depth like what I have here in the Higyone HaParsha, Chelik Dvarim, by Rabbi Klein, I believe his name is. I always forget. I probably made a mistake over here again. By Rabbi Wasserman, I'm sorry. By Rabbi Aryeh.
Close.
Sorry. Aryeh David Wasserman. He has here a very, very nice treatise. So let's just run through touch upon some of the yesodos, and we'll probably have to continue this more tomorrow because we're out of time. All of this comes from a Gemara. There's a Gemara, a very important Gemara. And the Gemara's case is as follows. Let me read you the words of the Gemara. Discuss the person who has a mavui. Person who has a mother. I want to read the words of the Gemara so I shouldn't make any mistake. Okay. So Machloikis in the Gemara between Rav Huna and Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua. The Gemara Baba Basra Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. Everything comes down to this piece of Gemara. And when you're going to read a tshuva from Rav Moshe, or a tshuva from Rav Chavis Yoyer, or a tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein, they're always going to throw around, do we paskin like Rav Huna? We don't paskin like Rav Huna. We don't paskin like Rav Huna. But in this case,
we do
paskin like Rav Huna. Okay, that's going to be the common sprach. That's going to be the common expression, the common line you're going to see in every single tshuva, that even in this case, we're going to paskin like Rav Huna. Now, what is the Rav Huna? Who is this Rav Huna? So here, let me read you the Gemara. Machlandechli Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Rav Bredi, Yeshua, Im Yachol, Adam, Limnoya. Okay, this isn't actually Gemara. I thought he has the actual Gemara. Okay, unfortunately, he doesn't have the words of the Gemara. So let me just read you what he says. His words are a summary. The case of the Gemara is Echad mibnei hamavui shehemid rechayim litzarech parnisasa. Part of the problem of applying this halacha to today's day and age is because we do not have today a mavui. We do not live in alleyways, which have three sides, two sides, and in the alleyway there are courtyards. In the courtyards there are batim. Our style of living is very, very different than it was in ancient times. And the Gemara is very precise in the examples it gives. And that's why trying to extrapolate how these will apply b'zman hazeh gets very complicated, because we're only dealing with a situation in the Gemara of an ancient mavui. And the case here is as follows: she'echad mibnei hamavui, one member of a mavui, of an alleyway, shehemid rechaim, that erected a mill l'tzorich parnesaso. Now, also take note that a mill, another, I'm just throwing out some ideas which we'll come back to. A mill is something that is very public. It's out in the street. Everyone sees that this fellow is grinding wheat. In contrast to a person, let's say, who fixes appliances. You have to go into their house, into their basement. It's not obvious that this person is a person that's in this business. But a mill makes a lot of noise. It's out in the open. Everyone sees what this person is doing. And the Gemara's case is Chaveroi ben Oso Hamavui, another member of that very same Mavui. The same, he lives there. He lives in the same alleyway. I also want to erect a mill and start grinding wheat for people for money. So das Rav Huna sheharishon yochol la'akev al hasheni. Rav Huna says, how dare you? This is my parnasa. I have established myself. And if you're going to open up a shop just like me, there's not going to be enough parnasa. You're taking away my parnasa. How dare you? It is aser. But notice the case is only where the person that's coming to open up the other shop is also a resident of the very same mavui.
Even if there's enough parnasa for both,
that's going to be the question. That's going to be one of the many variables. That's going to be okay. Let's look. There are going to be many variables, and that's why it gets extremely complex. Let's go further. Kevin shalom aloy shemaspig eschiyuso. It appears from the Gemara's case is because you're completely going to put me out of business. You're going to put me out of business by opening up another shop identical to me. You're going to put me out of business. To answer your question, for the moment, the only time we're not going to allow Shimon, who's also a resident of this very same Mavui, to open up another shop is because you're going to put Reuven out of business. This is the famous Shita of Rav Huna. Along comes to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. I just want to keep in mind, in the back of your mind, generally, 90% of the time, we don't paskin like Rav Huna. We don't paskin like this. In other words, we're going to paskin like Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. And what does he say? Don't confuse the two Rav Hunas. There's Rav Huna Stam, and there's Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. And listen to the Svara. Pshitali Bar Mosa Abar Mosa Achriti Motzi Ma'akev. This, you Rav Huna that said that you can protest, I agree in principle that's true, provided the one who's opening up the shop does not live in this alleyway. Because how dare you, coming from the outside, from another city, to come into the alleyway. But, here are the words of the Gemara, Bar Mabua, a Bar Mabua Dinafshe, Lo Motzi Ma'akev. You need a Parnasa. I also need a Parnasa. Let the best man win. We live in the same mavui. You're a yachsin. I have a parnasa. I live here in this mavui. So you're all of a sudden, you have a chazaka. What chazaka? You need to survive. I also need to survive. I can do it better. Let the people choose. It's a democracy. Let the people choose who they want to go have their wheat grinded. Who they want. This is the halacha. We paskin like this. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua admits, I agree, that if someone from Lawrence comes at the Flatbush, get out. Now, I don't know if you think that's a good example, because Lawrence, that's all part of the question. How do you translate a bar mavui? Bar mavui in modern society. Okay, that's another question. But if you come from another mavui, I agree. You have no business coming here taking away my parnasa. But if we're living here, a person is entitled to make a parnasa where he lives. And therefore, the same way I can open up, so you can open up, I can also open up. Now let me just show you from words. Also, lis achus competition. Ach yochol limnoya kishmeduba ben ir achas. Only in a different city. Now the Gemara goes on. Now here's the very big variable. From the Gemara comes out. I didn't say the words with precision. The only time Rav Huna Bereid of Yeshua says that a person can protest someone else coming in to compete is only if you come from a different city. But let's say you are a member of the very same city, but a different alleyway, then it's a suffix. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua himself says the Gemara has a suffix what he would say, and the Gemara concludes teiku. We don't know what the answer is. So let's review Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Let's first clarify before we come. We apply some exceptions. Rav Huna Bereid Yeshua says if you are a resident of the very same mavui, you're also entitled to make a living, and therefore competition is allowed. Competition is healthy. And if they can't survive, so one of them won't survive. The better man, that's what the halacha is. The same, the very same.
First.
The very, doesn't matter, that's the halacha. However, you're all of the cases that you're thinking about, and you should know Rav Moshe is very machmer. Rav Moshe, a lot of the modern different shilas was manazer. Rav Moshe is very machmer. People don't listen to Rav Moshe. They do whatever they want. They don't follow Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is very, very machmer in these halachas. But according to Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, who's general lacha, the only time that you can definitely make a macha, how dare you, my parnasa, is if you're from a different city. You're a different city, and you're coming to my city, into my alleyway to open up a shop to make parnasa, I get rid of you. But if you're a resident of the same city, we're both from the same city, you're from Mavui A, I'm from Mavui B, and you want to come inside, maybe yes, maybe not. This is a suffix.
Let's say like he and Portland. I mean, it could be okay, the same.
Okay, so that's the question. Now,
by the way, played a big part in Hashgachas as well.
What?
Right? And because when Glatmar took the Star K in his store, the Vada Rabbanim of Flatbush, you know, asked all the stuff with the Star K because of that reason.
Okay, now before we go further, question is, we've presented Rav Huna and Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. How do we paskin? The Torah, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? Okay, now, everything I'm telling you is generalities. Don't quote me on anything. Everything is just very, very general. It's an extremely complex sugya. Just to drum to the basic yisodos. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Okay, that's how they paskin. That's the general rule. Now, even though we paskin, he presents over here 10 exceptions. 10 exceptions to this rule where you're allowed to compete l'kula, where you're allowed to compete even if you're a different city. Okay? So in other words, certainly if you're part of the same city and you want to make a parnasa, you're making a parnasa, I want to make a parnasa, you can compete. But even if you're from a different city where you're not allowed to compete, there are 10, he presents here a collection of tshuvas from different achronim where there are 10 exceptions. Just to run by some of the 10 exceptions. Number one, if you're a peddler, a roichlin. A roichlin means, I'm not here for the long term. I'm only here, I'm a traveling salesman. There's a shop in the city, in this mavui, where a person sells certain types of merchandise. And I'm a roichel, I'm a peddler. And I just make my rounds. Most of the place where I happen to go, they don't have the service that I'm providing. Happens to be, I come into this city, and look at that, there's a shop over here in the city that sells exactly the same thing. So the Chazal, this is all part of the Takanas Chazal, did not prohibit a peddler, since this is his parnasa, and he had no way of knowing it coming in, he made a trip, he spent a lot of time coming into the city. He did not know that there's another person over here that has a shop. And even if he did know, it's only for one day, it's only for a short time. You have to know exactly what a peddler is. That is already an exception. How would this translate into modern?
And that's only one
A one-time. So how would this translate into a modern-day application where there's some type of fair, some type of trade show, a street fair or a trade show? So let's say you have a store that sells whatever, certain sells pizza, right? And then there's a street fair, and then someone opens up on the thing. They set up a pizza shop right on the street, right in front of someone else's pizza shop. So this, L'chaira, and I don't know if this is the correct example, but it follows the principle, a roichel, a peddler, who makes his round from place to place only there for a day or two, is not included in the gzeira. Another example is the Yom HaShuk. There were certain in cities where they had one day a year, market day, and people would come and they would bring their wares and they would set up shop, and other people were very upset because we have over here a shop the whole year round. People going to Yom HaShuk, they're going to you're taking away from me. No, the Yom HaShuk is a built-in exception. Another example is where a person is owed money. In other words, people owe this fellow, they owe him thousands of dollars. And he has no way of getting back his money. The only way he can get back his money is, at least let me go and sell them some merchandise, and that way I'll be able from the profits to recoup some of the choiv that they owe me. So I will temporarily open up a shop on this block, because all the people on this block, they owe me a lot of money. I sold them their houses. I'm the one who sold them their houses. They defaulted on their mortgage. I have no way of getting back my money. So you know what I'm going to do in the meantime? I'm going to make a shopping mall on this block. And even though on this block there's another shopping mall and someone else's parnasa depends upon it, you're right, it's not nice what I'm doing to go and hasag askavul, but you, everyone here in this neighborhood, you owe me money. So even though I'm coming from a different city, but I'm coming here to collect my choyv, money, that is permitted. A lot of these things, you know, you be very creative, you'll be shocked to realize a lot of these svaras have modern day applications why sometimes these things would be mutter. Another quick example is where anyway there's no law and order. Why is there no law and order? Goyim are doing it. Let's say you live in a non-Jewish city, and goyim come in and they do this. So once already the whole thing ready, there's no one holding you back. A non-Jew can do this and sell these merchants, sell the same thing. So a Jew is not bound to be more chamor than what's going on in society. These are the examples. Another example is if you are selling a superior quality merchandise, better stuff. So then I can say, even though I'm going to put you out of business, they can get from you what they can get from me. The only time these halachas basically apply is only when we're selling exactly the same thing. Okay, if you're in the electronics business, doesn't exist anymore because everything is online. So the whole thing is Dvar B'Talem today. Anything that's exactly, but it used to be in the olden days, the only couple of companies that make cameras, this Canon and this and this that. So you're an electronics store, it's the same merchandise, it's exactly the same thing. Everyone gets from the same suppliers, so what everyone has, the question is, you're going to put one out of this. But if you're providing them with something that is unique, and by doing so, you're going to put the other person out of business, so you're entitled because the people cannot get this from someone else. Another example is a service. This is a very big leniency, a service. Only when you're providing a product is there a limitation about sagas gavul. But if you are providing a service, for example, you are a barber, open up a barbershop across from another barber, it's a different type of haircut. No two barbers give the same haircut. Open up a medical clinic, no two doctors treat patients the same way. You're opening up a service. A barbershop is a service. It's not the same haircut. Many people are very makbid to go only to the barber. They have a barber. They only go to that barber. So a service is not a service. What do you mean? That's another heter.
Only charging $5 instead of $20.
That's another heter. Another heter is if you are providing it cheap. Now here's the catch. It has to be cheaper because you're taking a loss to undercut your competitor. It's cheaper because it is for you cheaper. You have access to merchandise that you indeed pay a lot less for. So you're making the same profit that your competitor would make, but you are charging less. So then you're providing your customers with something that they would not be able to have without you. Because if not for you, they would pay double. With you, they're paying half the price. But here's the catch. The reason why they're paying half the price is not because you are undercutting, you're taking a loss for a year. I'll take a loss, I'll sell it half the price to knock the guy out, and then when the guy is knocked out, then I'll raise the price. But if the reason why you're charging half the price is because I get it half the price. He gets it from Japan, I get it from China. So in China, it's half the price. So then I am providing the customer with something which they otherwise cannot. You're not mechuyev to impose. You impose upon them. What?
I'm passing along savings.
Okay, so that's another example. Okay, there are other examples. A lot of some of these things are very related. So these are many examples. Halacha lemaisa. It's very, very hard. Also, one thing that's a complete exception is melame tinoikos, an elementary school. Elementary school is a good business. You should know. Elementary school is the high school is a loss. It's always a loss. And Beis Medrash is a chayv. A girls' high school, not girls' high school. A boys' high school is always a loss. A Beis Medrash, forget it. This is a nightmare. To have a Beis Medrash there's no money in a Beis Medrash. That's for sure. But high school is not as tough. And elementary school is a very good business. Especially a girls' elementary school. It's a very profitable business. And you get a lot of government money. You get a lot of parents, they pay tuition. Elementary school, they pay tuition. It's a good business. Someone wants to open up an elementary school next door to another elementary school. Competition. This is the Farish part of the Takana. It's mutter l'chatchila l'hagdil toira u'lahadira. Hashem chofetz l'man sidkoy. You'll tell me that an elementary school is not tinoikos, it's already passed. That's not so simple. When does the status of tinoikos stop? When does it stop? But if you have a din Torah by two elementary, which is very not so posh, because that's where the money is. Elementary school opening up and competing, you're going to lose the din Torah before you blink, because lahagdil Torah v'adir. What about a shul? Two shuls open up one next to another. It's not so simple, because it depends what the shul is. If the shul is for, if one shul is parnasa, he brings her a maisa where there was one shul, and this is very common, this type of situation where one shul is for parnasa. By the way, the inyan is only when the only excuse a person has the right to compete with someone else when he needs to make parnasa. But when you don't need to make parnasa and you're just doing it for an ulterior motive, then it's a very serious violation. And the example, the very common example of this shaila, which is a very, very difficult shaila, is when you have a shul, and the shul, the person who runs the shul, does it for parnasa. You have a shtibel, you have a rebbe, and he says parnasa, pshuto kimashmo. He lives there, he has members, they support him, they give him money, they buy aliyahs, this, that, it's parnasa. Along comes the gevir, a new hotshot, comes around the corner, independently wealthy. He wants a shtickle covered, a tafkid, and he opens up a magnificent multi-million-dollar shul right across the street, or a block around the corner, and slowly but surely, it's beautiful, great air conditioning, Kiddush Erev Shabbos, there's no drasha, there's no this, and very obviously what's going to happen is all the balabatim from the Rebbe, from the shtibel are going to go. This is a real, talk about all the different violations, almost every situation is mutter. Because in every situation, you know why it's mutter? The other person is doing it for parnasa. But when the other person is doing it for kavod, why is he over there? Who gave him $1 million to build a shul, to buy the property, to do renovations, free membership, everyone just comes, I can make for my name a shame that I'm the Gadol Hadar. So whose expense? The little shtibloch, because you are providing more comfortable environment, better air conditioning, better this, better that, but you're taking away someone's parnasa. You are, and even if you're not taking away mamish, but you're cutting into their parnasa. And we're not even getting into in yanim of shuras hadin, of of what's hashkafa. If it's the right thing to do, even when it's mutar according to halacha, if it's in the spirit of the law to do so. So this is a very, very big shaila when a second person opens up a type of business, but not a business, a thing, which is going to cut into the parnasa of someone else. That's where you have today the real shailas and bezdin of hasagas kavod. Opening up two pizza stores on the avenue, you'll never win. You'll never win. That's going to always be mutar. Because basically everyone falls back on the principle of Funibari of Yeshua. We're all part of the same Mavui. We live in a global village. We're all entitled to Parnasa. We paskin the Iker Hadin like a Funibari of Yeshua. Plus, in addition to that, there's enough business for everyone, Ruba de Ruba. Plus, in addition to that, everyone today, no one sells exactly the same pizza. He has a thick crust, I have a thin crust, I have for lunch, he has this. Everyone is providing a different service. So Ruba de Ruba, when you're going to get in, that's the way he presents most of the shas, you're going to get into the sin, and you're not going to have a good case for Hasagas Kavod. It's very, not that there, it's not. There are cases. Copyright is a famous whole shaila with a person who printed the Rambam. There are cases, but it's a very tough sell. But in the situation where someone is coming along for his own covered and not coming along for money, then the shaila becomes an entirely different shaila. All of the coolers fall away, and here we pass him like Rav Huna. You can tell the person, "How dare you? I was here first. This is my parnasa. You're coming into my territory. You're taking away parnasa." All the excuses, all different things. But bottom line is, you're not doing it for parnasa. I'm doing it for parnasa, and that changes the equation in a very great way. Okay, we'll stop here.